Well, good evening. Good evening. Good to see you. My name's Tim, also one of the pastors here. It's great to be able to get God's word open this evening again. So let's turn to John chapter 20, which is on page 1089 in the church Bibles. If you would like a Bible and didn't bring one, please put your hand up and a steward would love to bring you one. Thanks, Frank. A couple over here. Sorry. No names, Courtney. Thanks, bro. So in John chapter 20, I'm going to pick up the story from verse 19. That's all right. You keep going, Frank. Doing a good job. So this stage in the story, Jesus has risen. He's appeared to Mary, but not yet to the disciples. And we're picking up the story. Verse 19 of chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is God's word to us this evening. Let me pray and ask for God's help, and then we'll consider those words together. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, as we've sung just moments ago, we want to turn our eyes upon Jesus, our risen Lord Jesus. We want to hear what he has to say to us tonight through your word. So Lord, give us attentive hearts and obedience to what we hear. Please help us. After a busy day, help us to concentrate. And please encourage our hearts, especially if we're weary in the faith, especially if we're struggling at the moment. Lord, please encourage us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. He has risen. It's something we've said much today, isn't it? He has risen. He is risen indeed. We've sung of the resurrection. We've declared that to one another in loads of different ways. And in one sense, this is something that Jesus' resurrection is something we always celebrate, isn't it? Every day, we're reliant on the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate that. And yet, there's something particularly important and helpful on the Easter weekend just to kind of pause and to reflect, perhaps more deeply than at other points, on the difference the resurrection makes, especially for the believer. And so tonight, as we kind of turn to John 20, I want each of us to kind of reflect on the encouragements that there are, particularly encouragements and the kind of right perspective against two big struggles in the Christian life that Christians or all Christians at some stage will experience in their walk of faith at some stage. One of those struggles is personal and one is missional. So the personal one is when those questions of doubt kind of surface in our minds. You know, the questions of, am I really a Christian? Am I really saved? The doubts that kind of creep in our walk of faith when we struggle with sin, when we feel distant from God. So tonight, as we reflect on John 20, I hope that we'd be encouraged, if that's where we're at tonight, or at least truths to store away from when those occasions do feel real to us. The other struggle in the Christian life is often missional. Is personal evangelism, is sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus, really worth the cost to our time and to our status? Is speaking of Jesus really what we should keep doing? Is our witness as a church to Christ really making an impact in Enfield? Should we keep at it or should we try something else? You know, we've just had a big push, haven't we, as a church family for Passion for Life, which is really encouraging. We met loads of people. I think we interacted with over 300 new kind of faces across the week in the cafe, in services and so on. It was encouraging. And yet, perhaps there's some friends and family who you'd love to see here. You've prayed for them, you've spoken the gospel to them, but they feel further away than ever. What hope is there? What encouragements are there when people we long to see saved seem further away than perhaps ever? So two struggles, one kind of personal, one about assurance in the faith, and one missional, are our efforts of making Jesus known really worth it? Perhaps that's where some of us are at this evening. But I hope as we look at John 20, we kind of get these kind of two big scriptural hugs, encouragements. One to assure us that if we're trusting Jesus to keep going, and one to re-energize us in our call to make Jesus known. So the resurrection of Jesus, we know it's important. We know it's an awesome truth. We've sung about it much already today. But as we reflect on it tonight, two truths to help us. The first is this: the resurrection of Jesus confirms our peace with God. The resurrection of Jesus confirms our peace with God. I wonder if you've ever had one of those days which starts off kind of really badly, maybe in a bit of a doom and gloom kind of moment, and then something happens, there's a change of events, something's said, and then, oh, actually, this is going to be a good day. Let me tell you about one of mine as a kid. So I got up one morning pretty early, I put on my school uniform, I couldn't find my bag, I was rushing breakfast because I knew my mate would be there to kind of walk to school with in a few moments, I couldn't find the things, I knew there was lots happening that day. But into that kind of mess, in that kind of sadness and grief, my mum looked at me weirdly and she was like, "Tim, it's Saturday." Yes, what good news. I was in a place of grief and I was soon brought to joy. So much so that you probably think I'm sad for remembering that 20 years on. That was a big day for me. I was like, yes, what a good day. And for some of us, tomorrow might be the same. You might wake up and think, oh, I've got work. But it's Bank Holiday Monday. And so you'll remember this, hopefully, tomorrow and just rejoice in that. If you've got work tomorrow, I'm sorry. But similarly, on that first Easter weekend, the disciples, in a much bigger way than just it's not school, take this journey from sorrow to joy. Just as Jesus had predicted in John's gospel earlier on, he said, "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices," that's speaking of Jesus' death on the cross. "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." So you have a look. Look at the grief that starts our passage in verse 19. "So on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders." See, just for a moment, just picture the scene. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Just imagine what it must have been like. There's no Judas. He's gone. Thomas wasn't present either. He comes a week later and in the next passage. But 10 of them huddled together behind a locked door, surrounded by the shadows of the night. And as they sit there, they're filled with shame. They've all betrayed Jesus. They all deserted him when he was arrested. Peter especially sitting there humiliated by his own weakness. He's overflowing with regret, no doubt replaying in his mind again and again the 3 times he denied Jesus. They're filled with shame. They're also filled with fear. The Jewish leaders killed their master. Were they next? Again, Jesus had told them back in John 15, "A servant is not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." Jesus is dead. Are they next? That's why the doors are locked. They're in fear of the Jewish leaders. So the disciples are there. They're filled with shame. They're filled with fear. They're also filled with confusion. What now? What next? What of the empty tomb? What of the reports from Mary? Verse 18, just the verse before our passage. She's declared to them, "I've seen the Lord." These were puzzling and solemn times for the disciples. There were so many questions, so much uncertainty. It was a kind of a dark moment. And yet, as the line often goes in the film, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Which I don't think is actually true scientifically, if you really think about it, but it's a good phrase. When things seem dark, light is often around the corner. In the face of despair for the disciples, hope was about to appear. Look at verse 19 again. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. From grief to joy, Jesus stands in their midst. Their crucified master has become their risen Lord. He died and rose on the third day, just as he said he would. And as he appears, his first words to his disciples is a declaration of peace. Peace be with you. Into their fears and their failures, Jesus declares peace. Into their shame and confusion, Jesus speaks words of compassion and love. If it had been us, if it had been me, we would have felt quite entitled, right, to vent some frustration at their failures and get angry at their abandoning. Where were you guys? The disciples don't deserve to be in Jesus' presence. And yet that's kind of the point, isn't it? Jesus has come to them with the words of peace on his lips to undeserving disciples. Jesus had completed his earthly mission. At the cross, Jesus won victory over sin and death for all his people. The war between God and his people was over. Peace replaces fear. That's what the resurrection of Jesus does. Isn't that the reason why Jesus shows them his hands and his side in verse 20? Yes, he wants to say, yes, it really is me. But I think more than that, he wants to say to them, look, this is what's achieved the peace with God. It's not about you, it's me. Look, have a look. This is the cost of peace. And now you could be assured it's worked. These marks declare that peace with God is not down to you, but achieved only in me, Jesus, at the cross. The resurrection of Jesus moves them from fear to confidence and leads them to joy. So you look at the end of verse 20 again. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now I think that's a bit of an understatement, isn't it? Think how much they're filled with grief and sorrow. And then all of a sudden Jesus is there. Yes, he's risen. This is amazing. Now even for British people, we would have wanted to do more than just kind of clap Jesus. Well done. Yes, Jesus is here. We would have done more than that. So picture the scene again. After this bitter weekend for the disciples that they'd enjoyed, overjoyed is understatement, definitely. Imagine the scene, hugs all round, kind of tears of sorrow and betrayal turn to tears of joy. Yes, Jesus, the one I've betrayed has come and declared words of peace to me. Let's crack open the wine. Let's go from silence to shouts of joy. I don't care if the Jewish leaders hear us now. Jesus is here. Why? Why has it moved from grief to joy? Well, because the resurrection of Jesus confirms a peace with God. See, without the resurrection, how could they be sure that Jesus' sacrifice for sins had been accepted? And yet Jesus stood there, here in front of 10 disciples, a week later in the next passage, in front of 11 disciples. In the coming days, he appeared to over 500 believers on one occasion. Jesus is alive and he declares peace to all who have come to him for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, just as we hear that, maybe for some of us, I just want to ask the question, have you done that? Have you come to Jesus for the forgiveness and the peace that he offers with God? See, forget chocolate Easter eggs and bank holiday weekends. Peace with God is the greatest gift of Easter. And it is a gift that is available to all who have ears to hear, all who go running to Jesus. And today, if you're already trusting Jesus, we need to hear these words again and again, today, tomorrow, this week. As we come to Jesus, be assured of peace with God. As we come in the name of Jesus, we can take off our guilt and our shame and our fear and our confusion and be filled with this inexpressible joy. Because that first Easter Sunday turns us from doom and gloom to peace and joy. Now, we haven't seen the Lord Jesus physically. That's why Thomas isn't around in this story. He appears later on, going, I'm not going to believe unless I see him. There pops Jesus, yes, I believe. And Jesus even says in that passage, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. But we have these accounts because we can believe on the basis of their testimony. Jesus wants us to know that the peace, he wants us to know the peace that he offers. In fact, it's striking, isn't it, that twice in our passage and once in the next, that three times Jesus opens his address to the disciples by saying, peace be with you. Why has he said it three times? Does he just want to make sure that John kind of gets it down in his gospel account? John, I better say it three times just in case John forgets to write it in. But he doesn't. He keeps saying it again and again. Jesus knows how fragile I am. He knows how fragile we are. He knows how quick we can be to doubt our salvation because of our sinfulness and fear. Also how quick we are to slip into a cycle of self-reliance and anxiousness. But Jesus is gentle and he's gracious. And he says again and again, peace be with you. And so today, friends, we must fix our ears on Jesus' words. If we trust Jesus, then we have peace with God. In Jesus, our shame and our sin is gone. And not even death is to be feared because it has lost its power and sting. Death is no longer an enemy, but a gateway to eternal life with Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, how different is that to our world's view of death? Our world avoids death because it has no answer, but Jesus has overcome death and declares peace to all those who follow him. So store these words in your heart. Rejoice in them afresh today. Fix your ears on Jesus' words of peace. But also, keep your eyes fixed on the risen Jesus. See, verse 20 tells us that the disciples were filled with joy as they saw the one who had won them peace. And so with them, we must keep our eyes to where the risen Jesus is. Now again, we can't do that physically at this stage. But when we fear and we doubt, remember that he's risen. As we lift our eyes, like the song we just sang, turn your eyes to Jesus, remember where he is. He is alive. We can look to where he is, sitting triumphantly at the right hand of God. When we're struggling with sin, when we feel its weight, we look to where he is. What's he doing? He's interceding for his people. Let that encourage you afresh. The resurrection of Jesus confirms our peace with God. So be encouraged. When the questions of doubt surface, or you feel distant from God, or tired in the battle with sin, remember the words of our risen Lord Jesus. He says, peace be with you. Our confidence is not in our feelings or the strength of our own faith. Our confidence is in the one in whom we put our faith. That is the risen Lord Jesus. So the resurrection of Jesus confirms our peace with God. Isn't that encouraging? I think that's encouraging. I hope you're encouraged. But these verses have another encouragement. So firstly, the resurrection of Jesus confirms our peace with God. But secondly, the resurrection of Jesus confirms our mission from God. So you just look at verse 21 to 23, how our passage continues. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. See, having achieved peace with God, Jesus now sends out his disciples to take this news of peace to others. Just as Jesus was sent by his Father to make him known and to complete the work of salvation, now Jesus, in a similar way, sends out his disciples, sends out his followers, not to complete the work of salvation, but to declare that in Jesus and his name alone, peace with God and relationship with God is available. And now, despite the shock and joy of Jesus' presence with the disciples, I don't think this call to mission would have surprised them. Jesus had called them to be fishers of men. He'd already sent them out to surrounding villages to again and again preach the gospel. But this time was different. Why is it different? Well, this time, it's the risen Lord Jesus who sends them. He'd backed up everything he'd said. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. He'd done it. He'd delivered on all his promises. They were about to head out and about on the streets of Jerusalem, but with now overwhelming confidence that this message was real. Why? Because Jesus is standing amongst them. Without the resurrection, what confidence would they have had in their message of peace? What proof was there? And yet Jesus rose from the grave. He stood there. He'd shown the world that his death truly atoned for our sin and that peace with God is available through him. Jesus had died. Jesus had really risen. But it was more than that. Jesus, in these verses, promised to send the Holy Spirit to equip them for this task. Now, there's lots of kind of, there's loads of books written on this. I've actually, for an essay I've written recently, there's loads of books written about this and about Pentecost. Is this the same as the passage you get in Acts 2 when on the day of Pentecost and the Spirit comes and the disciples? If you want to chat more about that, I'll be happy to engage afterwards. But I think at this stage, this is another kind of foretelling of the gift of the Holy Spirit that is about to come. It's a tangible difference in Acts 2, but here it's like another foretelling of the Holy Spirit that will be sent by Jesus when he goes back to heaven to equip them for the task. And that's exactly what happens. So Jesus had spoken earlier in John 16 about the sending of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks about it here. But that's exactly what Jesus does. Again, he keeps another promise. See, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit is poured onto the disciples and he equips them for the work of making Jesus known. I had a lot of fun doing this week. I won't share all these examples. But if you think of the disciples in the book of Acts, again and again, under much opposition, against arrest and beatings and scatterings, what do? Well, again and again, they boldly declare the gospel, boldly declare the peace that there is in Jesus. Why? How? Well, because of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sends. See, listen just to a few of these. I've got hundreds of these verses, but I'll share just a couple so you can see this. So in Acts 4, verse 8, responding to Jewish leaders, we're told, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, she's equipped. Acts 4, verse 31, and they, the believers, were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Acts 6, verse 10, Stephen, the first martyr in Acts that's recorded, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave Stephen as he spoke. One more, Acts 7:55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, why am I sharing these verses? Well, again, Jesus keeps his word. He really did send the Holy Spirit as he'd promised. But also because this is still true for believers today. Jesus is risen. He's in heaven. And Jesus promises in his word to give his Spirit to all believers. If you're trusting the Lord Jesus this evening, you have the Spirit of God. He indwells every believer. And one of his works is to magnify Jesus in us and to help us to speak of Jesus to others. Now that's exciting, right? We're not in on it on our own. Jesus hasn't gone to heaven and gone, right, just get on with the mission. I'll see you later. He equips us. He sends his Holy Spirit to equip us, to help us. Gives us words to say when we don't know what to say. He's at work in those that we are speaking to with the gospel. And so here's an encouragement. We are part of Jesus' kingdom building. He is still saving people in the world and in Enfield. And even when things seem small or slow, we keep going. We keep going because Jesus is with us by his Spirit and because he's commanded us to go. That's what he says. I'm sending you. And so we keep going because it's our calling. Remembering that in all the struggles and all the difficulties that Jesus is more passionate about lost people than we are. Which is an encouragement. When we think of those people that just seem so hard to the gospel, think they'll never believe. Well, why not? Let's keep going. Jesus is merciful. Jesus is able to open the eyes of us. He can open the eyes of anyone. through his word and by his spirit. And our responsibility isn't to save people. We don't have that power. But Jesus calls us to go and to speak of the peace he won so that through it he might be pleased to save some. So our job is to speak. The Holy Spirit promises to help us, to prompt us. And our confidence isn't in our words, it's in his work. So we pray for the Spirit to cause people to respond the message that we declare. We speak and God graciously uses our efforts for his purposes and for his glory. And that message that we speak, the one of peace, is wrapped up in forgiveness. So have a look at verse 23. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Might sound a little bit strange on first reading. What's going on here? Is it just that the disciples were given authority to forgive sins? I don't think so. Only God can forgive sins. But they now carry a message of peace. And however people respond to that message will determine whether their sins are forgiven or not. So if you believe the message of Jesus, you'll be forgiven. You'll have peace. If you reject the message of Jesus, your sins remain. You won't know the peace that there is in his name. And so what's our prayer? Our prayer is that God would open many eyes and ears to respond to the message of peace that is in Jesus. And we pray for boldness for each believer among us to keep going with the message of peace for the glory and honor of Jesus. We keep going. It's our calling. Jesus has commanded us. He's sent us. And so we don't give up. We keep going, trusting and praying. So what encouragements are there that we've kind of thought about this evening? Well, the resurrection of Jesus confirms our peace with God and our mission from God. The resurrection of Jesus moves the disciples. It moves all followers of Jesus from grief to joy. At his appearing, shame gives way to forgiveness and assurance. Confusion is replaced by clarity and inescapable joy that their Lord and God lives. Fear is turned to boldness, fueled by the Holy Spirit. Not that danger's now gone, and all the disciples here did experience persecution, many of them being martyred. All those who seek to live a godly life will face persecution. But the resurrection assures us in our faith and encourages us to keep going, keep speaking, so that some may respond to the message of peace. So friends, as we've dwelt on that this evening, I hope that just encourages you tonight to keep going. If you're trusting in Jesus, there is peace, immovable peace. Jesus says, look at my side, look at my hands. There is peace with God. Be assured of that afresh tonight. If you need to, write those words on your wall if you want, or post-it notes, stick it around your house. Peace be with you. They're the words that Jesus declares to all believers who are trusting in him. And as you seek to go, as we as a church continue to go to reach the lost with the good news of Jesus, the peace that's in his name, remember that he equips us for that task. He gives us the Holy Spirit. So let's be dependent on him as we go together. Let me pray as we end, and then I'll hand back to Nathan in a minute. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for Easter Sunday, that we can remember together that our Lord Jesus has risen and that he reigns, and that even now he hears us and he intercedes on our behalf. Lord, what precious assurance we have. And Lord, we thank you for his gentleness and his grace, that into the fear and the mess of disciples' lives and our lives, Jesus speaks peace to us. Lord, we know we don't deserve that. We are sinners. We are rotten sinners. And yet Jesus declares, peace be with you. It's not about our efforts. It's about what Jesus has accomplished for us. And we pray afresh tonight that you'd encourage our hearts with that truth, that this would sink into our hearts, that we'd be assured in our faith, that you'd help us to assure others where they're perhaps wobbling or doubting in the Christian life at the moment. Lord, would these words be more and more precious to us? And Lord, as we think of the lost that we know, those that as yet aren't trusting the Lord Jesus, please be merciful. Please use our small efforts for your glory. Please open blind eyes. Please would we see many come to faith in Jesus, even this week. Thank you that you send the Holy Spirit to equip us, to help us. We pray that we'd be increasingly reliant on his work in our lives. So Lord, encourage us afresh through your word this evening. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.